I think the most important thing we can do right now is look at the supply chain and ask them to work in a more secure manner and have higher expectations of what they're doing for us. Currently, many federal agencies and commercial agencies as well have accepted software as is, and we accept the idea of patching and fixes as they come. And as a result, most of those things happen after an incident has occurred or an adversary or hacker has found some sort of vulnerability or some sort of challenge. I think the answers are, how rigorously are you testing these things, and where is the sourcing? Are you using international sourcing? Are you using local sourcing for development resources? And what are the policies and procedures you're putting in place to make sure you're doing appropriate testing before release?
So is this a matter of baking it in way ahead of time as opposed to patching it afterwards, or is it more complicated than that?
Well, it's absolutely more important that we do things early, because patching means something bad happened. Typically, when we find a situation that we're patching, some researcher or some hacker has already done something somewhere, and we're fixing a hole. And the fact that we've accepted software for so long in this state of we'll fix it after it's released really has worked against us. So we have to go backwards and give the developers more time and more room to do better development and to do more testing before we accept the software.
And aren't there also automated types of tools that you can apply that lay over the development process? But I've heard that a lot of developers don't like that because they feel like somebody's looking over their shoulder electronically.
I think the only thing we can say to the developers who are concerned about these tools, which there are tools that exist and there's some great tools out there, is we're following a trust but verify methodology. We're not saying you're doing anything wrong. We're trying to make sure that you're covered to know that you did everything right, and that no one can ever come back and say to you that you did something wrong if you did do everything right. And developers that are more mature and understand the fact that security is a big issue and the way their software is going to be used, especially in the federal domain, typically appreciate the idea of finding things that may be wrong early in the process versus having to be in emergency fix mode after the process and have people look at their work and say, this was subpar or this was not as good as we hoped.
We're talking with John Perante, an advisor with Information Systems Audit and Control Association, or ISACA, and president of IP Architects. It's a consulting firm. So what are some of the common vulnerabilities that people stumble over? And if you, and this is going to sound naive, so forgive me, but if you don't find those vulnerabilities ahead of time, aren't you automatically putting yourself at risk once you release the software? I mean, somebody somewhere is going to find it.
Amy, that's a great question. And the ironic part of what we find in the software world is that a lot of the hackers are using the same types of attacks over and over again. They're not new. They're not as sophisticated as we see in some of the more outlandish concepts or some of the high attention attacks or high profile attacks. Some of the most effective things are using old tried and true attacks that have been out for almost 20 years. So there are standard things that we're finding over and over again that, for whatever reason, the development time and the testing time just isn't catching, but the hackers are. So there is really a lot of work that can be said to say, if there's such a small surface area of where the concentrated levels of attacks are, like people changing entries in the web URL, as recently happened to one of the big banks of the world, where somebody just kept on changing the sequence number in the URL and was able to access other people's accounts. That's very basic. That's very simple. Often I find that a lot of the software developers and a lot of the testers are looking for the really interesting, really challenging areas, and they're forgetting about the simple stuff. And that's really where the hackers are spending a lot of their time, is the simple stuff.
Now, what about the origin in terms of countries? A few years ago, the worry was that development that was done maybe on a subcontracting basis in former Eastern Bloc countries or even India was more prone to having problems than software developed by Americans in the United States. Still true? Was it ever true? Is there a difference?
I think the best way for me to represent this is from ISACA's position and my own personal position. If we follow the data, then where it origins from really shouldn't be the problem. We should have the same level of controls and governance and security capabilities across wherever it is, whether it's in the U.S. or a foreign nation. Just because it origins from some foreign nation doesn't necessarily mean it was put in with malicious activities or malicious intention. The same mistakes that were made there could be made just as easily in the U.S.
You said something earlier that I would like to follow up on, and again, naivete notwithstanding, you had talked about how they have to rush to get the stuff to market, and we have tolerated for a long time, we'll patch it afterwards. Under what sort of pressure are software developers rushing to get it to market? Is this our fault?
It is our fault.
Oh, well, thanks so much.
If you think about it, the consumer drives the market. And software has one of the highest profit margins of any area in technology and also has the highest demand trends. So, for instance, we expect a new iPhone from Apple every year. And if we don't get one, we're upset, right? So that means that Apple has to rush their development cycle to get new cool features as fast as they can. Not saying that Apple has any problems or challenges, but it's just a great example. Microsoft was often given a lot of flack and a lot of criticism for not putting out new operating systems fast enough between their Windows Vista and their Windows 7 release. And they did this partially to write better software and to get more secure software out there. So we as a consumer base have this huge appetite for new features, new innovation, quickly as we possibly can, and we have accepted the idea of lower quality for faster feature.
Well, I'll wait for the iPhone 415. I think they're only up to about 5 coming out next. Now, I'm a program manager in the federal government, suppose. What is it that I should have my contracting officer put in the service level agreement for software development to make sure that best practices are followed, or is that simply how you put it?
I don't think there is really such a thing as best practices that we can define in organizations. I think everybody has their own leading practices. And I think the idea of putting down specific standards as compliance requirements is not a bad idea. If you think about things like the seatbelt, we didn't have that for a long time and it caused lots of problems, but as a result of putting it in, we saved a lot of lives. I think we can put in some basic guidelines that we're looking for from a policy or control perspective and some governance, but we got to make sure that we don't fall into this trap of what I call security by compliance. Many organizations will then take that criteria and say, this is all I have to do. If that's what the government says I need, then I'll just do this and it's good enough. And often the government standards would have to be so broad scope and so wide spectrum that it would not allow us to really do really interesting work that some developers might want to do that are above and beyond the minimum standard.
Okay, so bottom line this for us, what do we do to fix it?
I think the best thing we can do is we have to no longer accept the idea of insecure software. We have to go back and say to the software manufacturers that there will be financial repercussions if you produce bad software.
So it's a culture change before anything else.
Absolutely a culture change. It's a perception change and a culture change. We as a community can't just be outraged. We have to be outraged with our wallets, not just with our voices.
So you have to pretend you've just bought sour milk. You wouldn't keep that.
Oh, what a disgusting thought.
That's a very good example. We have to give them time as well, though. We have to give something back. If we want better quality, we have to give them the time to create better quality or allow for the pricing to allow for more testing and more resources to be put in place in that expedited time frame to allow them to apply more testing and more capability as well.